a good number of you will make Aliyah and move to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully the numbers are surging. But what if you don't move to Eretz Yisrael? What relationships should you have, and what types of thoughts or perspectives? There's an important pasuk in this week's parsha about the Tochacha. So the Rebbe is describing all the suffering and the persecution the Jews will encounter. And one of the pasukim is, you will not find manoach, you won't find rest and tranquility in the countries that you will be scattered there. Now this sounds like, in to a degree, a part of the punishment, part of the persecution. But Chazal say this is actually a hidden blessing. Because ilum atzah manoach, if you were to be too comfortable in Chutz La'aretz, then you'd never return. And there are two other pasukim in Tanakh that are almost identical to this. One is in the beginning of Echa, which it actually came true. The beginning of Echa Paragimel, Hi Yashva Bagayim Lo Masama Noach. That's the beginning of Echa. So it plays off of the Pasuk in Kisavo. And of course, both the Pasuk in Kisavo, that you will not find Manoach, and the Pasuk in Echa, Lo Masama Noach, they didn't find Manoach in Babel, are both drawn from Noach. In Noach, the Yonah tries to find tranquility in dry land. And Yonah, of course, is a metaphor for the Jewish people. Yonah si pamasi, say for Yonah. And lo matzah hayonah manach lekaf raglah. The Yonah tried to find dry land, but couldn't find anywhere else to settle, and had to return to Noah, which in this case is the makom, the centerpiece, not yet Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael hasn't been chosen yet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed into history that as much as Jews would be able to embrace and engage and entrench themselves in their societies, the clock is always running, and there's always going to be an expiry date. So that's part of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's program, but it also has to be part of your own consciousness. Now, there are some people who wield this concept in a very offensive manner. They hope that Jews in Chutz La'aretz suffer. They hope that there's anti-Semitism. They're happy when Jewish communities struggle, because that's going to facilitate or accelerate the return. Those are very, very troubling, toxic positions. If Jews are living in Chutz La'aretz, then it's our responsibility to hope for the best and to try to stabilize and to try to sustain those communities as best we can. But people who live in Chutz La'aretz have a responsibility to, on the one hand, create a sense of permanence. You can't constantly live in a tent. You have to build brick and mortar. You have to build communities. You have to build resources. But never to get to the state that this feels permanent. No Jew in the world feels that living in the Chutz La'aretz is permanent. But for many, okay, that's an apocalyptic future. But right now, this is as permanent as it gets. One day Hashem will create an overhaul. Somehow, the sense of transience has to be more immediate. More sense of fleetingness has to be more sense. You have to find that space where you live and you grow and you build and you set roots. But you realize this is just a way over. This is just a way station. This is just a layover. Let me tell you about a very, very fearsome and frightening Masara. The Masara goes to the Jews of Germany. Somehow, Jews made it to Germany after the Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon. We typically feel like after the first Beis HaMikdash, most Jews were exiled to Babel. But there's records that Jews made it as far west as Germany. And 70 years after the destruction, Ezra invited the Jews back. Sadly, only 42,000 Jews returned. And according to the Gemara in Megillah, that's why the second Beis HaMikdash was doomed before it started. Second Beis HaMikdash could have been Mashiach. Only 43,000 Jews returned. Most stayed in Persia because they're just too comfortable in Shushan. They're too comfortable in the Ahasuerus world. But there are Jews in Germany who received a letter from Ezra. And they wrote a letter back to Ezra. This is a Masara, it's found in the Svarim. They wrote a letter back to Ezra. You go back to Yerushalayim. We'll stay in Germany. This is mini Yerushalayim. They've been so warm and gracious to us in Germany. You go back to Yerushalayim. We'll stay in Yerushalayim Akhtana. And the Masara goes that because of that letter, specifically the Jews in Germany, suffered disproportionately throughout the generations. Because it's one thing not to return to Ezra's invitation. It's another thing to use the word Yerushalayim about any country or city other than Yerushalayim. It's not just the word, but the notion that you can build a mini Yerushalayim. It's a very hard challenge. It's an important challenge, and it's part of your identity. It's part of your religious identity. A lot of people live in Chutz La'aretz, and you have a responsibility to build and to enrich and to foster communities and to build strong communities and permanent communities, but never abdicate that sense that not just in some distant apocalyptic future in 1000, but as an expiry date, and it's going to constantly cycle. And as comfortable as Jews were in Spain, as comfortable as they were in Poland, as comfortable as they were in Alexandria, and hopefully, if you decide to live in the Quakers, you won't be part of that expiration. You don't have to be a prophet of doom. You don't have to wish doom upon people just to get them moving. That's not the ideal tshuva. The ideal movement is not movement of doom and movement of distress. And hopefully, if you decide to live in the Quakers, you're not part of that crisis. But long term, you're living in a tent. The tent may feel very permanent. Have a good day, everyone.